You know what this means? In a world of nothing, of barren hills and cracked earth, and once proud oceans drained to sand, there will still be a monument to our existence, bleached by the sun perhaps, and blunted by time, but everlasting. Because this man represents all that is eternal in the human experience. The courage to stand for a nation when all others fail or turn away. The strength to recognize the value of freedom and to accept its cost, no matter how great. Through the curtain of the aurora, a comet blazes to herald his arrival. And his victories shall be transcribed into every language known to history, including Klingon. Eating champion of the world, the number one eater in the world. I give you America itself.
TC and Jake.
Welcome in, folks. This is TC Fleming. Fresh episode of It's Just Banter. Apologies about nothing being published last week. I'm trying my absolute best to get throughout a week, and hopefully that's the pace we'll keep up going forward here. I am with our treasured listener, John. John, how's it going?
Good. Good to be here. Excited.
Just trying to get, you know, whenever we initially started doing interviews with listeners, we got a treasure trove of amazing people volunteering with interesting stories. And looking through those emails, they were sent an embarrassingly long time ago. So I think it's time to start getting those interviews recorded, published, and out there in the world. So just basically handling them in chronological order, not because this is the most interesting story, but it might be. we'll find out. So, John, you're kind of the highlights is you worked at the Arkansas Athletic Department during the time that Bobby Petrino crashed his motorcycle while giving his mistress a ride.
I did.
That's pretty exciting.
It was, well, going back, I had 2 years under Houston Nutt, too, so I had that. That was just everyday something new, and then his whole firing and then bringing Bobby Petrino in. It was a definitely wild time in the athletic department.
So did you go to Arkansas?
Yep, so I'm from Denton originally, so Northwest, or DFW resident, and then came up to school in 2006 and stayed through my master's, and then I've stayed in Northwest Arkansas since then. So been here since, yeah, fall of 06.
What led you to choose Arkansas?
My brother was already living up here. He played tennis at University of the Ozarks. It's a D3 small school, but he had moved up to Fayetteville, and it was that or Trinity down in San Antonio, and it helped that I didn't get into Trinity. So
yeah,
made the decision pretty easy.
Yeah. I don't know. I had not been through Arkansas too much until took a trip up there. I guess it was 2020 because we were doing all kinds. We were shocked at the guy behind the counter with the oxygen tank that didn't want a mask.
I will say Northwest protocols. Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas, completely different than the rest of Arkansas. It's a kind of its own little bubble up here with Walmart, Tyson.
Yeah, like we went through Fayetteville to get where we go. I'm trying to remember. Bull Shoals Lake is the lake that we were renting boats and swimming on. There's some kind of, is it the White River?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
White River.
Yeah. The house that we rented was on the river. And I was blown away. Northwest Arkansas fucking rocks.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Notre Dame coming up here in a few years. So
yeah.
You'll have to come tailgate.
I would like very much to do that. That is certainly in my plans. So how did you start working in the athletic department?
So it was a friend of a friend. My brother knew someone that had just graduated that had the job. So it happened like right like late July. Like I moved up like a week later. I worked in sports video for the football team, meaning we filmed practices, games, highlights for the coaches. And that's before we had like a recruiting department. So we were doing all sorts of like every aspect of video for the football team.
And how did that, is that the job you were doing when Bobby crashed, or what was your career trajectory?
So I was a student, undergrad student for 4 years. And I mean, not as involved. Then I was a grad assistant. So, I mean, I was working 16-hour days during the football season, pretty much like a full-time employee while getting my master's, and they paid for that. So they treat you like a full-time employee. So definitely was, I would say my boss was kind of Bobby's right-hand man, for better or worse. He went with him to Western Kentucky and then Louisville after all the craziness happened. So, definitely had some good access there. During my master's, I was there full time, all day, every day.
In the guy you're describing, the right hand man, is that an administrator?
Nope, he was the director of sports video.
Okay,
so we had a director, an assistant director, two grad assistants, and then like 4 to 5 like undergrads in our department.
And what did you want to do?
I was going to school for broadcast journalism. I knew I didn't want to go live in Tupelo, Mississippi for a 3-year contract making $19,000 a year. You kind of know how the media industry is, and I wasn't ready to do that. So I was really just pushing off real world for another couple of years. They paid for school. They paid me basically to go to school for my master's. So it was just kind of where I could live and keep doing college life and not have to find a real job yet.
What was the work atmosphere like?
I get this a lot. Anyone who I tell that I worked with Bobby Petrino, they want to know everything about it.
Yeah.
And he was, weirdly, he was a really good guy to work for as long as you're winning football games. He was really loyal, which makes a lot of sense now that he had a lot of secrets to hide. And but he was, if you were loyal to him, he kind of looked out for you. We have like mat drills. So like off season, they can't use a ball. Have it like 2:45 in the morning to get the players up. It's the dumbest thing ever. But for some reason, we had to go film them with a fake ball. I remember a lot of times there, because we'd just go into the office after those mat drills. So it's like 5 a.m. starting our day. And he would send me out to go get breakfast or something. One time he gave me like a $100 bill. And it was getting it for like the whole video staff. And we had change. It was like 60 or 70 bucks. We had change. So I tried to give it to him, and he got really offended that I tried to give him the change. He was like, I gave you the 100. Just keep it. But it was no reason to get mad, but he did. So you were always walking on eggshells, for sure. But like I tell everyone, winning solves a lot of problems. So yeah. We were 23-5 during my 2 years as a grad assistant. So
hell yeah.
That was Sugar Bowl, Cotton Bowl. We should have won the Sugar Bowl, but that was Terrell Pryor and getting tattoos and all that during that time. That win was vacated from them. But still, and then won the Cotton Bowl. That next year.
Yeah, no, I certainly remember those teams. I don't know. It all has a different feel now because, Ryan Mallett died. It was a pretty tragic death.
And I was friends. Mallett and I were the exact same age. Just being around so much, I kind of knew Ryan. One of my friends was a really good friend. We played adult softball together. We actually been to the College World Series back in 2018 together. There was like a group of like 15 of us. Really like Ryan. Ryan was amazing. So that was terrible news.
Yeah.
Last summer. But, and then you have, of course, Bobby back with Arkansas now as the offensive coordinator.
Crazy.
Which is just wild. And we got John Calipari last night. So,
I know.
Twitter
up
here is just going strong.
Yeah, it's an exciting move. I don't know. If I'm USC, I'm probably like looking back at the whole thing like, God, we fucked this up.
For sure. For sure.
But yeah, so where did you fit into like the power structure up there? So it's basically like, so Petrino certainly knows your name and, you know, you're talking every day, you know, at some point or once a week.
We weren't talking every day. I mean, my boss would sit probably 4 to 5 hours a day with Petrino while he watched video. Petrino didn't want to run the computer, so my boss would sit there and literally click play and then give him the remote. And
that's nice.
Was just in there in case Petrino had an issue. And so, yeah, and then I was, I mean, there were like two or three of us that were right underneath my boss. And so, I mean, yeah, I saw him in the hallway multiple times a day. I guess there, I had to sit, my boss was out on vacation for a week, so I got to sit in with him and hit play for a week. And it was the most nerve-wracking week of my life because, I mean, even though, he tries to be personable, like, it's still so, you're just on eggshells the whole time.
You just, I guess I'm interested in what his actions were around that, but I would imagine that, you know, just that you care so much, right? Like you want so badly to impress him that regardless of what he's doing to ratchet up that pressure or relieve it, that it's going to be there pretty strongly. Just like you want to do it right because, whenever I started working at the Ticket, I certainly felt this way,
for sure.
You know, of like, yeah. I liked these hosts a lot. I cared what they thought about me mattered tremendously. And so, you know, anytime you're given a task, you're like, boy, if I fuck this up so bad, they don't like me anymore. That's going to be fucking disastrous.
You don't want to be the person that gets yelled at because he has no problem having a tirade in the middle of practice or, in the middle of the office. Like, from what I've heard now, he's kind of backed off that. Maybe he's been humbled a little bit. I would hope so. I haven't run into him here. I still have a couple friends that work in the athletic department that say he's been great since he's been back, but, I wasn't someone who wanted to travel to Western Kentucky where he went after Arkansas. And then, he went to Louisville after that. So I didn't want to travel with him really. And I got out of the college, game after that. I didn't want to, it was again, 16-hour days. And so I moved into teaching and I still do like sports broadcast and stuff like that. So, I still get some of the athletics through that route.
Cool. So what was your, Houston Nutt time? What was your overlap with Houston Nutt?
So it was his last 2 years. So that would have been the 06 season, which we were a top 5, top 10 team. I think that was McFadden's last 2 years at Arkansas as well. Yeah. So again, we had some really good teams. So Nutt's last game, it was at LSU. That was the triple overtime. I think McFadden ran for like 200 something. We beat him in triple overtime. They were number one. And then the craziness happens the next week and they somehow still make the national championship and win it. But
yeah,
that plane ride home after beating number one LSU, like Coach Nutt pretty much announced he was leaving on the plane. The players were all, I mean, it was.
That's fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting in the back of the plane, but he's like, hey, we just beat the number one team. I'm out tomorrow. Let's have a good time. And I just remember like offensive linemen dancing in the aisles. Like it was just a party on the way back. Like,
God, that's great.
And then, yeah, he was – because he had kind of gone through that whole scandal with a news reporter up here that whole 07 season.
What was that? I'm trying to remember. And he left for Ole Miss? Am I getting the
he
did,
he ended up
right?
Going to Ole Miss. He resigned from Arkansas. Just he was – it was – he had, like, been texting with a news reporter. And then, yeah, it was – I think – trying to remember right, maybe his wife or – sister or someone had cancer, and he was still like up texting this up. Like they uncovered all the texts between him and this news reporter.
This is coming back. Cancer being involved.
Yeah. He's sitting in the hospital texting this other lady.
That's rough.
So, not a good look. And, Arkansas media, they're, well, they were done with Musselman. So they're wild.
Yeah.
They'll live on Twitter and kill you.
Yeah. So what, you were doing video stuff then too?
Yep. So I was a student assistant for, well, let's see, 06 to 2010. And then 10 to 12 was a grad assistant. Okay. And then I was full time as the assistant director of video for the John L. Smith season after Petrino.
Man. That was like, you know, as a Notre Dame fan, I think it was when he was playing, it was related to Notre Dame, the slapping himself press conference, right? Am I making that up?
I think that's right.
So, you know, like, that's the primary way that I knew him, is the guy that went fucking insane and slapped himself. So whenever they're like, we're going to bring stability. by bringing in one of the most unhinged people that's ever been in front of a camera. It's like, all right.
I will say, off camera, John L. Smith, sweetest guy ever. Like, you wanted to play for him. He just, there was no accountability. Like Petrino, like, you were scared to lose almost with John L. Smith. It's, yeah, they just didn't, I don't know if they didn't care or what. But again, sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's a crazy way to find out that is that where you found out that Houston Nutt was leaving, or did you have an inkling before then? The plane ride I'm referring to.
There had been rumors. I mean, that it broke, I want to say, like right after fall camp. So it kind of followed us that whole season. I think Arkansas was a top 10 team preseason. They lost a bunch. I mean, Houston Nutt ran the ball 900 times a game, like just couldn't get out of his, would not throw the ball at all.
Yeah.
So they lost some really bad games. I think they ended up going like 7-5.
Is that one of the Dick brothers?
It was. And he's actually, Casey Dick. And he's the head coach at Fayetteville High School. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Where I teach at now. So
cool.
Crazy, crazy connection there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would assume that every Arkansas quarterback's eventually, coach at the local high school, right?
Or selling RVs or insurance in Fayetteville.
So Houston Nutt has that crazy plane ride. What are your memories of Petrino coming in? What was the search like?
I mean, I remember we had no head coach.
Pause. I, for some reason in my head for a second there, I thought he went from Louisville to Arkansas. It was so much crazier than that. He went from Louisville to the Falcons. And in the middle of the Falcons season, like, it was his first season there. And they were just
It had to be after, because Nutt would have resigned. That was Thanksgiving weekend. We always played LSU. So yeah. November 20-something.
So with a month to go in the NFL season.
I remember we were all in the video office because we had bowl. So we were 8-4 because we were bowl eligible. We were playing Missouri in the Cotton Bowl.
I went to that Cotton Bowl.
It was a terribly cold game. I remember getting windburn. But we were in Cotton Bowl practices. We got drilled in that game. But
I do recall that.
We were sitting there watching the TV. All of a sudden, ESPN breaking news:
Chase Daniel
hired at Arkansas. Yeah, yeah.
So that's how you found out? Was just from ESPN?
Yep, we were sitting in the video office, and then everyone just kind of looks around like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts to bring in an NFL coach to Arkansas. It's pretty exciting. I mean, that he was like identified as an NFL coach. He was there for what, to like lose 10 games and then leave.
I mean, he was in a bad spot because he came. I think he went to Atlanta right after Michael Vick. So possibly he even did he know he was going to have Vick, or did he know? I don't remember that timeline, but I mean,
yeah,
I
it was the Vick dogfighting.
I would have loved to see Petrino offense with Michael Vick. That could have been something, but yeah, we saw it on ESPN and then just kind of all sat there in silence for a little bit.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then how soon after that did they notify you? Like, was there some kind of like your boss or whatever people above him letting the staff know, or they just let the ESPN report hang?
They just kind of let the ESPN report. So my boss at the time followed Coach Nutt to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. So I would say like half, like 50% of the time, the video coaches or the video directors will follow their, kind of get attached to their head coach. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he went with Coach Nutt to Ole Miss, and then my boss was with Petrino when he was at the Jaguars. So that was Tom Coughlin, and then Petrino was the O coordinator. I think Mark Brunell was their quarterback.
Yeah.
And my boss was just the video assistant there and made friends with Bobby, and Bobby brought him along.
Okay. So whenever Bobby comes in, was there like, what was the introductory press conference and stuff like that? Like just what was the tone in the office about around the Falcons thing? Because the Falcons were very clear about like how furious they were. Like Arthur Smith gave public comments about like, you know, very sharp towards Petrino, that like he was walking out. What was the reaction to all that in Arkansas?
Not a lot of Falcons fans in Arkansas, so
yeah,
they were I would say more so excited that we were getting someone. I mean, Arkansas fans want what they don't have. If they have someone who's running the ball 90 times a game, they want someone who can throw. They want a coach who's going to throw the ball. So Petrino was just the perfect opposite of Coach Nutt coming in there. So, I mean, everyone was excited. But then, I mean, I remember him watching bowl practices from like a weight room, like closet, because he wasn't the coach. He wasn't coaching in the bowl game.
Yeah.
So he would just come stand there. And so everyone's like, I don't know, all the staff knew they were getting fired like this as soon as Petrino got to hire his staff. I think he kept one coach, a running backs coach, so just for recruiting purposes. But so, I mean, it was a little somber just because everyone knew they were going to be out. Also, Nutt had recruited all these O-linemen and running backs and hadn't really invested in a single receiver. So, I mean, just the whole office was turnover. But it was nice. Petrino spent, I mean, we were still recording on like beta tapes with Coach Nutt. He didn't really care about video that much. So Petrino like digitized the whole video room. Like we spent over $1 million doing that because he's a huge video nerd and is watching tape all the time.
That's nice. What kind of stuff do you have in there?
The old stuff?
The new stuff. What was exciting new gear at the time?
I mean, they were.
Do you use like news TV brought like kind of the same stuff they used to
basically?
Yeah,
and then we used Exo Sports was the software, the video trading software and editing software. I think that's been in the news with who was it? Was that Ohio State? Yeah, their whole issue. I think it was the same system they were using. But yeah, it's just upgraded to that, and then upgraded everything that we got rid of all of our tapes and started recording on either SD cards or little hard drives. But I mean, all those the cameras and lenses. We probably got 4 to 6 new cameras and lenses. They were probably $30,000 to $40,000 a piece. They were up there, so we got a lot of nice new gear.
Man, I guess do you know if there were any other SEC programs recording on the beta tapes? It seems nuts. That seems way too late. Like this is like what, 2009, 2010?
It was 08 when we switched.
Okay.
So or spring of 08 going to the fall of 08, yeah. Probably Ole Miss because that's where Coach Nutt went. also probably Mississippi State. They were behind the times. That's kind of Arkansas slogan. Thankful for Mississippi. So probably those two schools only.
Yeah. So what, when did Petrino have like an introductory press conference or a meeting that you were there for or anything? How does the Petrino era start for you? What was it like when he arrives?
So it was tough because like I left the Cotton Bowl and then I didn't come back to campus because we were on winter break. I stayed in Denton for a couple weeks. So when I came back, like basically it's an entirely new staff. Nice. I mean, they keep kind of all the student assistants because they need workers. It was just like we were told kind of don't talk to Petrino unless he talks to you. An intimidating guy. Some of the assistant coaches, I mean, you're working a lot more with them. They're all pretty bad on computers. So the video department gets, we're IT, we're everything. Yeah. So, hey, I can't check my email. Oh, well, you're not, you have to log in first. So you kind of get to know them a little bit more and on a closer basis than the head coach. He has a press conference. It was, he wasn't really great in public. talking in front of the camera. Now he was pretty personable, I guess, to everyone off camera, at least female reporters and all of that.
Perhaps too personable. I guess that's not
exactly.
His problem wasn't ultimately with reporters.
Right. Right.
So you mentioned the bit about, whenever he was doing the sending you out for breakfast and then being upset at the prospect of being given back change. Did you have any other interactions that stood out?
As we got further, as I became like a grad assistant and was working, full time, there's... I remember we hired a new assistant director. Ours left and went to his dad was a coach at Navy, so he went over to Navy. We hired a new guy in, and Petrino rode in on a motorcycle one day, we were walking in the same time as him, going through the same door, and the new assistant director was like, "Man, I like that motorcycle." And Petrino's like, "I've got like six of them. Like, whenever you want to ride one, you just let me know."
ominous.
Yeah, in hindsight, that it's pretty funny to look back on.
So, what you also Jeff Long was there at the time. He's the athletic director.
And yeah, so he comes in. I think same time right before Petrino. I think Frank Broyles had left, and so kind of the year that Coach Nutt was leaving, I think, was kind of a transition to Jeff Long.
Okay. And he, went on to become the first guy kind of heading the administrators part of the college football playoff. So, became a known name within the sport. But sort of, I think his first time he's being mentioned in the press all the time is the follow-up to the Petrino motorcycle wreck. So just out of curiosity, like how often do you ever interact with the athletic director?
So at that time, the admin offices were one floor above the football offices. Okay. So we were all in the same complex. They since have updated all of that and kind of separated out. Jeff Long, he'd kind of walk through. Bobby didn't like Jeff walking. He didn't want anyone walking through. Like, he wanted himself to be in charge, which I get. I remember, I don't remember what game it was. We lost. It was Bobby's first year. And Jeff, came through the offices after the game. And it's pretty quiet. Like, most sports, you don't talk a lot after the game or after a loss. And Jeff's, yelling through the offices, like, "Come on, keep our heads up." And I just remember Bobby not being happy about Jeff Long coming through there.
That makes sense. What did he do?
There wasn't some big blow up or anything like that night. Mm-hmm. Bobby, he was in control of every aspect of football. Jeff did a lot for the, our athletic department was so behind the times. Like, Frank Broyles, he took over for Frank Broyles.
Yeah.
And Broyles was still stuck in like the 70s. Like
yeah.
the men's and women's athletic departments were separate departments. Like, this is 2007. So Jeff combined those. There was a lot of good stuff he did and then just lost all fan support after firing Bobby or putting the morale clause in Bobby's contract.
Yeah.
Why'd you need that? Like,
I think you might have needed that. So where were you whenever you found out that he had wrecked his motorcycle while his mistress was riding on it?
So, well, first off, so my boss was on the hiring committee for the mistress's position. Mm-hmm. So it was a director of on-campus recruiting. And like we knew who she was. She had played volleyball at Arkansas.
Yeah, I assume that you know the whole scandal was that she worked in the athletic department. So I figured you had some knowledge of her, right?
She worked up on the third floor. So I mean, it's not like we went out and hung out together, but so I remember there was someone from OU, LSU, and then her. Those were the three finalists. And I remember my boss, they all wanted the LSU guy, and it was a guy. Mm-hmm. They were like, he blew us away, like, and then basically Bobby was like, nope, we're hiring her.
Yeah.
there was a conversation. I just remember my boss coming down like, what is he doing? Like, she's clearly not the person to hire. So there was that, and then, I mean, she was probably no more than a couple weeks on the job. I think signing day had ended, the previous guy had left, and then this probably happens March, April timeframe.
Do you have any memory of the LSU guy? Like has he gone on to like build Alabama's dynasty or something like that?
No, man. I want to say his name was Jason, but a last name is not there at all. So, yeah, I did not follow his career path. I'm assuming it's better than hers.
if it lasted 2 months, then really pulled ahead.
Yeah. But I was taking comps for grad school the day all the news broke. So I wasn't in the office. Mm-hmm. I was in like a 4-hour test that morning, and I get out of the test, and I mean, my phone's just blowing up. And I'm like, what is going on? Because during that time of the year, like a lot of coaches kind of took their vacations. So it wasn't ever a full office for those weeks. You're kind of building up to spring ball. Or maybe spring ball was literally starting like that day. Because the infamous him coming into the neck brace was after a spring ball practice.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was I think that was like a Tuesday or Wednesday. And then I went to lunch with some buddies on Thursday, and one of them, he worked for development for the university, and he just goes, I don't think he was the only one on the bike. And we're all just like, no, you're full of it. Like there's nothing there. And then like that night, just everything broke.
How did he know?
That was a guy. He used to be a manager, like a student manager for the football team. So I mean, he was down there with players, and this is a guy. He knew a lot of stuff. I don't know if his boss was in on a lot of meetings or what. It was just someone who I trust that guy, and
yeah,
and this he was like there. He wasn't the only one on the bike, and we're. I just didn't believe it, and then the next day, I'm like, man, Todd was right.
So there was nothing like I guess the nut thing would have been reported in the press as it was ongoing or whatever. But like, you know, you're saying like there's a feeling around the office, like everyone kind of understands the direction this is heading in. There wasn't like any kind of like, I mean, if you're saying that you're surprised by the assertion that there's no one on the bike, then it doesn't sound like it was an open secret that he's dating the head of recruiting while married or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. I don't think it, like he hid stuff very well. Like I'll go on to say like my boss, I'll have more stories about this, but we had to clean out Petrino's office after he was fired.
Wow.
So I still have some Bobby Petrino business cards that say head coach, University of Arkansas.
Sure.
That I held on to. But there were like three cell phones in his desk.
Yeah, great. Awesome.
So, I mean, just uncovering all that, it's like, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Probably not the best idea.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, if he was carrying all this on in a way that no one in his work knew until he wrecked his, like, absent that motorcycle wreck, which can happen to anyone. It sounds like he was running a tight ship.
I will say, I don't buy that. I mean, there's a lot of rumors or different stories of what happened. I don't buy that he was beat up by the girl's fiance.
Yeah. I do recall that talk. So why not?
Well, I was friends with the police officer that found him.
Okay.
So he was the state trooper who, he would go on all the trips with us. Mm-hmm. So I think, so Bobby's first call was to him, and he took him to a hospital and didn't file the police report immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think probably at Bobby's request there.
Yeah.
Just like cover it up. I don't know if Jesco was found at the scene with him or not. But I saw him up close after the wreck. It was just road rash and all that. Like, it just didn't look like a physical altercation to me.
Yeah.
And I knew who the fiance was. I'm not personally. I had seen him around because I think he worked for volleyball or something as well. Or I think he was
insane.
Yeah. He was part of the wait staff down there. So yeah, I never bought that. Just kind of my feeling. But yeah, the state trooper takes Bobby to the hospital. And then I think that kind of all bounced back on the state trooper initially he didn't, but I think he ended up at some point having to file the report. It was too big not to.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you're wearing helmets, but it seems risky. Like, you're even if it goes fine, you know, like if there's no crash, just the idea that most of the people, whenever you're pulling up to the stoplight, everyone at that stoplight knows what the head coach of Arkansas football looks like.
For sure.
And if you see Bobby Petrino with like a girl in her 20s, like holding onto the back of him on a motorcycle.
And she was a volleyball player, and she was like 6'4", probably blonde. Like,
yeah,
not someone who's very hideable at all.
Yeah, that's I don't know. I don't know how that works out. It feels like a bad idea. I mean, you know, the helmets matter. Like, you can't really see, I guess. But like, you know, if you're wherever you're going to, you know, I mean, I guess you could just be going from like his house to her house. But if you're heading out to Dairy Queen for a, you know, quick dilly bar, all of it's just very fucking conspicuous. I wouldn't carry on my affair that way.
And he was over, I mean, kind of on the east side of town. So, I mean, not a lot of stoplights or way more like winding country roads. But still, yeah. Like, everyone in the state knows who he is at that point.
Yeah. Was his wife around? Like, did you have any reference point of her?
Yeah, she was really quiet. I will say, after I got to clean out his office, so my boss was at their house, because at that point he had been a FOIA request for all of Petrino's texts, which for some reason he didn't delete. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. He thought he could still save his job at that point. So he had saved literally every text message. So my boss was at his house screenshotting every single text. Because then we came back and had to print that off. Those were part of one of the FOIA requests. So you could see.
I found those last night, and I was regretful. I didn't have more time to go through them. You know, just because if we're talking about this today, there seemed to be a lot of information in there. The part of the request was whenever Jeff Long like had his like big meeting with Petrino. He took all of his notes, and those were subject to FOIA, which, like, seems insane to me. But, you know, I guess they're all public employee. But, like, it's private notes. Like, you can see him, like, yeah, coaching himself up on what he's going to say. Like, some of them are, like, written beforehand. And it's weird that we get to read it. And then I saw all of her text messages were part of it. And so I started going through those, and I'm like, this is the most boring shit on earth. Like, it's just like a lady's like work, you know, like, hey, where is this stuff? But yeah, so did you have to submit yours?
No, I, as a grad assistant, I didn't have a work phone yet. As a full time, I did. So nothing of mine, and I was a male, so Petrino wasn't really texting me at all. And he would go through my boss for anything. So yeah, so my boss is at their house screenshotting those. So I have to go take him like the contents of his office after we packed it up. And so I go out there, ring the doorbell, and his wife answers.
Oh man. Weird seeing you. Like,
look, I don't, here's a bag of stuff. I'm going to go now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. It was awkward. They're still married. I know that. I'm friends with, because Petrino hired a lot of like son-in-laws and his sons. I know at Missouri State, his son was O coordinator for him. His son-in-law, he's a D line. He's the D coordinator at Missouri State now. He stayed there, and I was really close with him. He was a grad assistant with me, so he was breaking down a lot of film. So we caught up there. So I still keep in touch with some of those guys.
Yeah.
But so I know, other than the fact that they're still married, I don't – that's about it.
And in Googling around, I think it was like stuff from around that time. So nothing recent, but I saw some indication that her relationship may have survived the turmoil as well. Do you recall that?
The person he hired?
Yeah. She had a fiance at the time.
Yeah, I think they're living in South Carolina. I know that's where they went initially after the incident. So yeah, good for them.
Good for them indeed.
I'm kind of shocked no one's done like a 30 for 30 or a book or anything. Like my buddy, like all of my buddies, we all worked in the football department. Like we've all talked about like, man, we should really put a book together. Get these interviews while we can.
Yeah.
Never really done that, but I mean, I guarantee all of Arkansas would read it or watch it.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'd love more. Like, you know, whenever this opportunity came up, I was very excited, and I think this is going great. I'm having a good time learning about it. If someone wanted to do this, you know, 20 times and then put together all the best stuff, I bet that would fucking rock.
Yeah.
So yeah, what were the other conversations? Like you talked about, you know, like the one guy came in and was like, I don't think he's the only one on that motorcycle. And then everyone kind of reacts. What were the other conversations going on at the time? Like what were the rumors and, you know, which of them do you believe?
There were, I'm trying to think like there're not a lot of rumors because everything kind of came out. He was trying to, I think the reason he got fired is he had the morale clause. He lied to Jeff Long, but he was just trying to save his job at that point. So he was going to say whatever he needed. I don't think there were any crazy off the beaten, like rumors that anyone believed. Like it was all pretty well known. Like, all right, she was on the back. Well, she also shows up the next day to work in a knee brace.
Yeah.
And like her leg is just like scratched up.
God, that I just imagine like her having to get out of the car, like to go into work. Like that just sucks. That'd be a level of anxiety that.
And you'll know this. So she was an on campus recruiting person. Mm-hmm. We had one person on campus that next day for a visit. So when she was in the knee brace and all of that, and it was Hunter Henry.
Tight. Well, she did a great job.
I mean, his parents were all Arkansas. He was from Little Rock. Like he was coming here. I think he was already committed.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Just, I'm wondering what's going through his mind at that point. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Now in the article I read about, like, saying, like, hey, they had to publish Jeff Long's notes from the conversation. This is in, like, when did Petrina lie to him?
It had to have been, I mean, because Petrino didn't make it all the way through spring practice. I remember, I mean, it was no more than 2 weeks. So from the incident on the bike, like, to 2 weeks later, he was already fired.
Yeah.
So I remember coming in from practice one day and my boss, like, sits all of us down, like, hey, there's a press conference in 30 minutes, but they just fired coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, okay.
Were you surprised by that? Was there any sense within the athletic department that they wouldn't?
I mean, we didn't have, like, contract details. So, I mean, to us, or really the media, pushed out that the only reason he was fired was that morality clause in his contract. Like, if he didn't have that, I think he would have been suspended, possibly for a season. But I don't think they would have fired him. And no one around the state wanted him fired. If you go back and look at the FOIA requests or all the texts that my boss screenshotted, John Daly kept texting Petrino. It just, who can I talk to fix this? He's like, give me Jeff Long's number right now. So I just imagine John Daly trying to come in and save the day.
I'm a little surprised he couldn't get that done. I thought he was, you know, governor of Arkansas, essentially.
Yeah, he was a big fan. He'd come in. Petrino loved him.
Of course.
They were.
Who didn't?
I mean, it checks out.
Yeah.
Daly would come down to downtown Fayetteville on his RV, and he'd hit golf balls, like, into our bar district.
Nice.
Off the top of his RV.
That's exciting. That's fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in the like, notes from a long meeting with Petrino, he wrote out himself, like, the clause, the morality clause in the contract. And, like, you know, it's like like I said, like, the stuff, like, where he had, like, the prepared opening statement for Bobby in the meeting. It was like, all right, here's what we got to say, Jeff. He's like, basically, I've decided to fire you. This is why. And I just wanted to give you, like, this last chance to, like, make your case, you know, like, if you can convince me not to, go for it. But, like, this is the decision. This is why. And, you know, like, you pick it apart as you see fit. And, it was all just the morality thing. He's like, you know, we can.
Well, and to me, like, Petrino had probably already dug himself in too much of a hole one way, say, like, denying everything.
Yeah.
That it was just too far to come back and say the opposite.
Yeah. And so in there, in his notes, Long said that Petrino told him, like, they're, like, getting into, like, the genesis of the, you know, he's like, all right, so tell me everything about this affair. And Petrino's, like, sitting there telling him, like, well, she asked me if I was going to kiss her. I'm like, that's a fucking insane thing to tell your boss.
Be like, yep.
We're in this parking lot. We're in the car. And, you know, she said she wanted it. And I don't know what to tell you, man.
Who am I to say no?
Yeah. And I think to some extent he was claiming that, like, it went no further, right? Which, like, all right, then we're definitely going to fire you, dude. Yeah. Like, if you're still... then I'm just never going to get a straight story out of you on this. And so, you know, hopefully the next coach will be honest with me.
John L. Smith was not caught up in any scandal.
Yeah. No, he just coached fucking dog shit football. What was the, you know, whenever John's coming in, do you have any memories around that?
Also, yeah, like, I was
graduating. What's your first meeting with John L. Smith?
Also, John Elway had been on the staff for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He was our special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
And he had left to go to like Northern Colorado, or I want to say like an NAIA school or something. And so they brought him back. And I was going through, like, I was ending grad school looking for a job. So I was kind of out there trying to interview with, I mean, other football teams or schools around the country. And my boss and the assistant director had left. He went back to Nebraska. And so my boss was like, no, like, I'll keep you here, but I have to wait till there's a head coach before I can, like, they have to approve it.
Yeah.
So we went like a full month, like, with me in limbo, because we didn't know who the coach was. Like, that process just took a long time. So I remember it was another time my boss was on vacation. And John L. had already been hired, and I was in there watching video with him because he really didn't know how to operate a computer, like could not turn a computer on, which I know doesn't shock anyone.
That. Yeah.
All he watched was kickoffs, all kickoff and kickoff return all day.
Gotta get it right.
So it was like an hour I've been in there, and this is supposed to be like my interview with him for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looks at me, and the only question he asks me is, are you going to fuck this up?
All right.
Which, yeah, I was like, no, I'm ready, coach. I'm good. So he's like, all right, well, we'll hire you.
Dude, it used to be anyone could coach a Power 5 team. Like, that guy was like one of the more successful Michigan State head coaches, right?
Yeah, yeah. Had some good times. There's a great, you should look up his, he did like an interview with like Kermit the Frog.
Wonderful.
which really checks out, but it's awful. We put it up in team meetings sometimes that year.
Doesn't sound like he was respected around the building.
No, everyone loved him. Yeah, respected on a football term, maybe not. I don't know, but they all loved him. I will say that.
That's nice. You know, didn't love him enough to work hard and win those games, but is what it is.
They had some injury issues, and they had a really bad recruiting class come in that year. So, as expected with, I mean, you don't have a head coach for all of March and April, basically. Your recruiting is, yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking saying that he was one of the more successful Michigan State coaches. He got fired after 3 years.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to see. It looked, I don't know.
Whatever. He was a well-respected special teams guy.
Certainly. yeah, he had started out 8-4 his first year. I'm trying to, they're not making it very clear how he did, but 5-6 was the last year. So, but if, I don't know. Okay. Oh, and no bowl bid, so it must add less than 5. So 10 total wins in 2 years, if they're your second and third. Just not going to cut it. Just not going to cut it. But then Arkansas was like, you know what? He's the man for us. I mean, I understand you know, it was about cleaning house and maintaining stability or, you know, whatever, but I don't know.
Well, the weird thing, our offensive coordinator, Garrick McGee, had just left to be the head coach at UAB. So this would have been, and this was like end of February. Mm-hmm. If he had stayed, he would have been head coach.
Boy, like that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like he's gone on to win several conference titles or anything, but
no, he got the UAB football program shut down for a few years.
who do they bring in after John L. Smith?
Brett Bielema.
Okay, yeah. That's right.
So I worked for Bielema for about 6 months, and then he brought his whole video staff. It didn't give me a good sign when, so my boss went with Petrino to Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bielema has me in for a meeting, and he's like, hey, like, you know, we'll try you out for the head job, but I'm also going to bring in this guy. He was the director of video at Iowa. He was the best man at my wedding. So I was like, oh, I can see this is going to go really well for me.
I'm fucked. That's great. And was Bielema, he played at Iowa, right?
Yes, he did.
Doesn't he have a giant Hawkeyes tattoo on his leg?
He does.
Yeah. So, you know, another cause for concern.
Yes.
So, yeah, then how did you end up leaving? That probably ties the story up nicely.
Yeah. I worked all the way through spring ball for Bielema. And it wasn't like I got the nature of the business. Like, everyone's bringing in their own guys. I had been there through three coaches at that point. So, yeah. Houston Nutt, Petrino, and, John L. So, it was basically like, hey, like, I'm bringing in these guys. They're going to run, our department. He was really helpful. I had interviews with, Penn State, it wasn't really a program just want to follow scandals around. I think that's when Bill O'Brien was still their head coach. Mm-hmm. So I went to interview there, and Bielema was like, do you want me to make a phone call to O'Brien? And I was like, no, like I'll figure it out. And, I could have taken that job, and I decided I was dating a girl here, and she works for Tyson. So she had a good job here. And so it was like, well, it's about time to get out of the college athletics game. And so, and then I started teaching, about a year later.
Cool. Just, exerting a Kenny Powers like influence in the lives of the youth of Northwest Arkansas.
My wife's like, do you talk to your kids that way? I'm like, look, it's how they, it's a respect on both sides.
That's nice. Tyson, big in the Calipari talk, as I've seen.
Yeah. I texted her this morning out because she's still there. I was like, is the campus buzzing with, your John Tyson just bringing in Calipari? And she's like, as long as everyone's eating chicken, like we're good.
Yeah. 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 Gonna get some chicken money in.
Exactly.
Paying these players to come back to school. It's going to be nice. Yeah, man, that's awesome. I don't know. I really appreciate you sharing your experience.
No problem.
Do you have any, like, you know, what are your reflections on your time there? Are you pretty jazzed up you got to do all that and kind of be close to those things? Or was it sort of a demanding work environment and you were happy to be gone? Like, what are your thoughts in general on your time in Arkansas as we conclude?
I'd say it's kind of all of the above. Like, yes, it was demanding. Like, I get the burnout of people not wanting to stay like over 10 years in college athletics or really professional athletics. But no, I wouldn't trade it. Like, I got to go to two Cotton Bowls. We went to a Capital One Bowl, a Sugar Bowl. Like, you got sweet gifts from those. Like, we got the same stuff the players got.
Fuck yeah.
So
what kind of shit?
The Cotton Bowl in 2008, we got that would have been an iTouch.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think I traded that in at the North Park, Apple store just for store credit. I already had an iPhone.
Yeah.
And was like, I can just get a bunch of Apple shit here. We got, iPads in 2012, that Cotton Bowl, I got all the rings. So I have a SEC championship ring from 2006. I roomed with Darren McFadden for 2 weeks. My first 2 weeks on campus, it was a quad.
What was that like?
That might be burying the lead here. He was, that was my introduction to college. My dorm wasn't open yet, so they needed a place to throw me.
Was he Darren, also a freshman?
He was a sophomore.
Okay.
And he had pretty much a breakout season. He wasn't a Heisman finalist. That wasn't until the sophomore year, but no, it was, I had my own room and he was on the opposite side of but we shared a living room.
Yeah.
And it was until my dorm room opened up. So it was 2 weeks. It was the wildest time I've ever had in college. Like, there were just 100 people in our room every night.
Wow.
He was cool though. He'd see me around campus. He called me CG, camera guy.
Nice.
And he did that all. He was a great guy.
That's great.
Until he was found, in the Whataburger park or drive-thru.
Yeah.
I guess. But
just seems to follow the general Arkansas people around. Scandal of various kinds.
We all know Jerry Jones has probably fallen asleep in the Whataburger drive-thru as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So everyone's just these 100 people parties, not even party, you know, just like whatever you're
just,
hanging out.
Just sitting around.
Okay. I assume everyone's drinking.
Smoking, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nothing too crazy?
Not no, shooting nothing. Up. No weapons that I knew of. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was definitely the minority at those parties. So I'm kind of just sitting in my room, like, plus that's during fall camp. So like we're there till 9 or 10 o'clock at night, working anyway. So we'd get, you know, a couple free hours that night or something. And you're back at it at 6 or 7 a.m.
Yeah. That's great. That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. I really appreciate you sharing your experience. Thanks so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. All
right.
That's it for tonight. The high school special is next, so until tomorrow, for everyone who's been a part of this one,
I'm TC and Jake.
We do thank you for watching. Good night.